Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where, despite the works of the enemy and the attacks of the devil and the attempts to thwart truth, light still trumps darkness. Truth is still always more powerful than the lie. You know, I had a buddy of mine in India one time. We were talking, and he said, Govinda, he said, you know something? I am not smart enough to be a liar. And I was like, okay, please explain. He said, when you lie, you've always got to remember what you said last. Whereas if you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said last, because it's true. And the truth does not change. And, you know, the thing about lies and deception is it just keeps building on itself. People continue to seek to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, deceiving and being deceived. And, you know, the funny thing is that even those that specialize in deception, they still need, they put a premium on actually obtaining the truth. Because in order to deceive, they need to know what's true so that they can deceive. Like, you know, in the world, the intelligence communities that are out there. Oh my gosh, how much resources do they put in to be able to know the facts? To be able to know truth, to be able to know, you know, what's going on, so that then they can go after their personal agendas and whatnot. So, but they still need that. They still need that truth to be able to understand, so that they can make a good decision. A good decision in their own minds, I should say. What they believe is good and what they believe is their course of action. So, you know, even those that specialize in whatever, there's still that value for truth, because truth is at a premium. Truth does not change. And those that are on the side of truth, those that seek the truth, those that love truth, they live free lives. They live abundant lives. They live lives of peace. Now, at times, it may be a lonely life. Yeah. You know, at times, it may be tough because not everybody values truth. Not everybody wants truth. In fact, the majority of what you're around in this world and world system doesn't want that truth to be broadcast. It doesn't want that standard to be upheld, because the world and the world system doesn't want a standard. It doesn't want to be accountable. It wants relativity. But see, here's the problem with relativity. If you just push it a little bit further, you push the equations a little bit further, you're going to eventually get to a spot where you realize it doesn't work. Whereas truth works. Truth will save you. Truth can save you. Truth did save us. When Jesus came into the world as the way, the truth, and the life, when He came to this world, He ended up... When Jesus came into the world, He came into the world as the truth. He came into the world as the answer. So He came in the world as a solution. So God's salvation, Yahushua in Hebrew, God's salvation. Yah being God, Shua, salvation. God's salvation. When it came to the earth, what came to the earth? Truth. Truth came to the earth. Aha! Yes. Truth came to the earth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When truth came into the world was set free. Now there was a sacrifice that needed to be paid, a debt that needed to be settled, that required the blood of the King of Kings, that required the blood of the Lamb of God, that was the only possible sacrifice and substitution for us. Yes, that was necessary. God did that. But truth came into the world. And that truth set the captives free. When people heard Jesus speak, they said, wow, nobody's ever spoken like this before. Nobody's ever said words like this before. He speaks as one with authority. You know what? Truth gives you authority. Did you know that? That when you live in the truth, you live under the authority of the living God, and you can speak with authority because you are living truth. You know, the lie doesn't have authority. Why? Because it's baseless. The lie may have position, it may have something that the world has given it, but it doesn't have authority. Because truth trumps the lie. Just as much as light trumps darkness. You can have a room full of darkness. Here's the thing. Darkness is just the absence of light. Because as soon as even the smallest light comes on in the darkness flees. The deepest, darkest darkness that's out there, the tiniest light has power. Power over that darkness. So, truth. Truth has power over the lie. So, application to our lives. Live in the truth. Seek the truth. Look for the truth. Study the truth. Desire truth. You know, one thing that's interesting right now about the day and the time that we live in, because we live in an information age right now. Get used to it. It's only going to increase. We live in an information age right now where we are being bombarded by information. And there's information overload, saturation point already, and it's only increasing. And in the midst of that, there are spin artists like nothing else that take information and spin it and twist it and turn it. I am grateful for the educational background that God allowed me to get, because I am finding it is very valuable in the day and the age that we live in just being able to understand information and the source of information and where things are coming from. And how people are putting things together, and what they're saying, and why they're saying it. Because you can see the motivation behind things. You can see when somebody speaks with a forked tongue, double talk, a twist, a spin, versus somebody that's a, you call a straight shooter. Somebody that just speaks what's real, and speaks truth, and looks for that, and looks to find and work towards peace. Yeah, you know, that should be the goal of humanity, is living at peace with one another, living in truth, living in light, pulling together, seeking one another's best interest, not just the best interest of their families and their neighbors, but their cities, their nations, and the nations around them. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? If people were all pulling for each other, if people were all looking for win-win situations in the things that they did, finding ways to make things work. You know, eternity will be like that. Eternity will be a solution and a situation where whatever you do, you'll do it with people that love you and care about you and enjoy your company and have your best interests at heart, even as you would have their best interests at heart. Eternity is going to be a wonderful, wonderful set of experiences, and ever present. There is no time in eternity. And you know, you can actually begin to live in a state of that even now. I mean, yes, time was created. And because there was a beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. So there was a beginning. So before that, there was no time. And but when the time that we have, because this is part of, you got to understand, this is part of God's experience for us. This is part of the experience of life. You know, God decided that He wanted to make something that hadn't been made before. He decided He wanted to create time. And with time, create a set of experiences with time. So that people could go through an existence and experience some things. Know what it is to go from cradle to grave, from birth to death. Know what it is to experience pain and heartbreak and triumph and victory. Know what it is to make a mistake, to fall down, and to be picked back up by the living God. Know what it is to make choice and to live with the consequences of your choices. Know what it is to call out to your Father and watch Him do the miraculous where you could not do anything. And you see His hand at work and you say, wow, there is a living God that loves me and cares for me and is making a way for me where there was no way. God wanted you to know what that was like. God wanted His creation to experience that and to be there with them in that experiencing, to share that journey with them. He wanted to see their just their wide-eyed wonderment at the beauty of what His hands have made. And to enjoy that with us. You know, it's this life is not about accumulating for yourself, storing up, finding a good retirement, making a lot of money, being of position in this world, being respected, being a person of note. No, none of that stuff. Because here's the thing. The rich man dies. Every man dies. The poor man dies. So if that's the case, should that be the focus? I'm not saying you don't work. I'm not saying that you don't. Because, hey, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. You know, you should do work. You should put your hand to something that God has given you the ability and the strength and the mind to do. Yes. You know, you should. Yes, He's given you passions and desires and abilities and skills and quickening you to do something with those according to His plan and purpose for the role that He'd have for you to play in the earth. Yes, do that. You know, get to it. But should that dominate the reason for your existence? No. It's definitely part of your existence. It's part of what you will experience and go through in this life, but that is not your reason for existing. You don't exist to work. Because if God can create the entire world in 6 days, and hey, if you great audio to listen to, go into the Q&A. There's a great audio there about the Big Bang Theory. Super. You need to listen to that. And I use that word 6 days because evening and morning phases, different things that happen. Go listen to it. Super. But yeah. You know, God, if He can put the whole thing together, your work is not as much about what you can do for him as much as it's what he's allowing you to experience and go through in participation with his spirit, so that you can understand and know him. What is eternal life? Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you've sent, Christ Jesus. And if you know him, who do you know? Well, you know I am. I am right now. I am. What did Moses, when he asked, whom shall I say sent me? He said, tell him, hey, I am. So, to be in a personal relationship with the living God right now, and to live in this moment, not being caught up in the future, because the future is not guaranteed to you, not being wrapped up in your past and whatever mistakes you think that you might have made or might have happened to you or whatever. That, no, that's not what your life is supposed to be. Because if you live like that, you're going to be either bound to whatever it is that might have happened to you or you went through before, or you're going to be living in this ever expectation of life to someday start to happen. Whereas God intended for you to live right now. And he's given you the power to live right now. You know, Jesus constantly was admonishing people to be here now. You know, when he's talking to them about not worrying, he said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't, you know, I mean, get into right now, because this is the moment that you have. And in this moment, the sole pursuit should be to face towards the Creator, to turn your entire spiritual being in connection with Him, facing Him. You know, the angels, what they see in a person is they see the degree to which that soul is facing the Father. Just like, have you ever seen a field of sunflowers? Well, a field of sunflowers, as the sun, well, I shouldn't say the sun going over in the sky, because it's actually the earth rotating, but as the sun goes over in the sky above, the sunflowers continue to follow that sun. They always put their face towards the sun. And so they move, and it's an incredible thing if you've ever seen a field of sunflowers, that those flowers move through the day. So when you drive by a field of sunflowers and you take a look at it, all the sunflowers are facing towards the sun. And wherever the sun goes, that's the way they face. And that is God's intention for you. That is God's heart for you. Because that's what He desires for you. Do you desire that for yourself? What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second is like it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. In those fulfill all the law and the prophets. So if you would, you want to keep life simple, try that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Try doing that and see what happens. See how your life changes. See how your disposition changes. See how your circumstances change. But here's another thing too. What changes is you inside. The circumstances outside are just the elements that take place that allow for something to be different, that allow to test you. But that isn't what The goal should not be to try to make the outside perfect. The goal should be for that which is inside the cup to be clean, and inside the cup to be directed towards the Father. Because God's intention is that you might live the abundant life. But you're not going to live the abundant life if you're bound into a deception. So God allows for the circumstances of life to break you. And in that, you either cry out to Him and are saved, or you turn your back on Him and try to do it yourself and keep going down that miserable path that the world chooses apart from Him. You know, He allows for the circumstances of life out of His great love for us. And He's always there. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can withstand. He's always there, looking out for you, encouraging you, seeking to strengthen your heart so that you would fulfill the race and run the race strong. But part of what this requires on your side, on our side, is a willing heart, and to not want to run away every time you end up going into something. You know, I mean, when you read the book of Acts, you got to see this element that's in there, which is how often God sent His people into difficult situations. Think about it. I mean, they were following Him, loving Him, seeking Him. But what does God say? That they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Those are the ones counted worthy. Those are the ones that have already crossed over from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. See, when they themselves, when they've already crossed over, death no longer has a hold on them. Therefore, they don't fear death. And when they don't fear death, it doesn't matter then. That it's truly to live as Christ and to die as gain. That truly is the situation for them. To live as Christ, to die as gain. So to live as Christ, that means wherever He would send you, that's where you go. Whatever He would ask of you, that's what you do. Whatever His good pleasure is, that is the joy of your heart. You remember David, when he was in battle, and he just under just his breath, he was just saying, gosh, I wish I could, you know, oh, I just love if I could just get to drink of that well that was inside that city, because he was thirsty. And three of his mighty men just heard that. And what did they do? They went and broke through that line and fetched the water and brought it back for David. Why? Because that was the desire of their king. Now, what did David do? He said, I mean, while he was touched and impressed, he said, I can't drink this because this is the blood of these men. I can't drink it. So he poured it out. He was absolutely grateful, but he also realized what was valuable and precious. But their commitment was towards the will of the king. Their commitment was towards the heart of the shepherd of their people. And whatever it is that he desired is whatever it is that they desired to do. Incredible. You know, incredible to have a people of commitment such as that. So the father looks upon his children with great love and also expectation. Expectation because he knows what you're capable of with his spirit inside of you. He knows what can happen and take place if you would just turn yourself over to his power and allow him to work through you. It's not you doing it. That's the thing you got to understand. You and I, we can't do it. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything because we bear in ourselves human limitation and weakness and frailty. And our thoughts are not like his. And our thoughts are stuck with the limitation of what we see, think, know, understand. But God gives us his thoughts. God gives us his mind. God quickens us unto his purposes and allows for us to do things empowered by his spirit that baffle the world around you, that are past anything that they could even imagine or think. You know, we serve a God of creation. We serve a creative God. And because of that, he allows his people to create. Creativity is owned by God. All the devil can do is repackage what God's already put out there. The devil can't create anything. He can only repackage. All that the devil has is smoke and mirrors. No. It's all good in Christ Jesus. Realize that we serve a creative God. And he allows for us, when we walk with him, to walk in a place where we are allowed to create. And we experience the struggle, the trial, all that comes into trying to create. Because there's a difficulty when you try to create. There's a process that you go through. It is a birthing process. Creation involves some pain. It involves the investing of yourself. It involves experience and exposure. You know, I've been blessed in my life to work with and be related to as well just wonderful creative people. That, I mean, literally they've made a profession, and a very good profession, out of being creative. And to see, you know, how much of themselves goes into what they do, and how involved and how committed they are to their art, to their craft. It's an incredible thing. But that is part of the nature of God, which is creation. God is, now you and I are the highest form of God's creation. He, you know, as a buddy of mine, you know, black preacher back in the States, he said, when God made man, when God made all the rest of creation, he did it all by himself. But when God made man, he said, let us make man in our image. So the entire the entire Godhead and the entire apex of God's creativity came into making man in his own image and likeness, and breathed his breath into our nostrils. So the breath that we literally breathe is given to us on loan from God. Incredible. That was God's method. That was God's way. And he invested of himself into us. So you got to allow, because you are made in his image and likeness, allow him to take you through experiences of life that will allow you to also know what it is to invest yourself, your heart, and to create. And you know what? When the Spirit of God works through you and flows through you, you will create life. You will create life. There will be life in what you do. You will breathe life into other people. It will refresh the hearts of others. It will bless the hearts of others. It will bring life and light and truth into places where it's been dark and cold and dead. And he's allowing you to experience all of these things because you are his ambassador. You are his ambassador. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And you should take joy in that role. You should take joy in that assignment. Because it's a beautiful thing that God is doing with you. And the pain that you struggle with, the things that, yes, God also gives you power over all the forces of the enemy. And you could pray, and those things are done. Those things fall apart. Those things have no hold. They can do nothing. Submit yourself unto the Lord. Put yourself at his feet. Trust him. And he will carry you through. With that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And keep on keeping on, getting back into a bit of a rhythm. And hey, we really, really love you guys out there. So pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless you. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.